So thank you very much for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class today. We'll be speaking from Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 47 and 48. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadara Jivapanayaha. Kiditina Kundalino. Harino Vandamalinaha. Srivat Sangada Doratna. Just the first verse? Okay. We'll just do it again. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadara Jivapanayaha. Kiditina Kundalino. Harino Vandamalinaha. Babajis. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadara Jivapanayaha. Kiritina Kundalino. Harino Vanamalinaha. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadada Jiva Panayaha. Kiritina Kundalino. Harino Vanamalinaha. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadara Jiva Panayaha. Kiditina Kundalino. Harino Vanamalinaha. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadada Jiva Panayaha. Kiritina Kundalino. Harino Vanamalinaha. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadada Jiva Panayaha. Kiritina Kundalino. Harino Vanamalinaha. Matajis. Chatur Bhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadara Jivapanayaha. Kiritina Kundalino. Harino Vanamalinaha. Okay, let's do the word meanings. Chatu Bhuja. Having four arms. Shankha Chakra Gadara Jiva Panayaha. You do your best. We'll go slow. Shankha Chakra Gadara Jiva Panayaha. Holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower in their hands. Kiditinaha. Bearing helmets on their heads. Kundalinaha. Wearing earrings. Hadinaha. Wearing pearl necklaces. Vanamalinaha. Wearing garlands of forest flowers. So I'll just read the second verse and then we'll read the translation. Shrivat Sangada Doratna Kambu Kankana Panayaha Nupurai Kartakayid Bhata Kati Sutrangulika Kayehi. Translation. All those personalities had four arms holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kaustuba gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their wrists, with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred belts around their waists. They all appeared very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada's purport. All the Vishnu forms had four arms, with conch shell and other articles, but these characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained Sarupya Mukti and Vaikuntha, and who consequently have forms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appearing before Lord Brahma also possess the mark of Sri Vatsa and the Kaustuba gem, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely His associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu Himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. The Srivatsa mark is described by the Vaishnav Toshani as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It is a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. Om Agyan Nimidanda Saganjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurudo Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaraganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladata Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kantanam Mostite Tapta Kanchana Godangi Dadhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakal Padadu Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gouda Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we see that Brahma, Lord Brahma, was born in darkness. When he opened his eyes, there was nothing. Just put yourself in his position, right? At the moment of his consciousness came forth, he's sitting in absolute void, absolute darkness, with nothing but the lotus flower that he's sitting on. And so he didn't know what's going on. The only thing that he knew is that within him was this very powerful desire to create. And so he had no idea who he was or who the Supreme Lord was. And so he began to look around and sort of investigate the lotus flower. And Srila Prabhupada mentions he actually crawled all the way down the stem of the lotus, all the way to the water itself. He was actually standing in the Garbhanak ocean, you know, or in the car, you know, looking at the lotus flower and thinking, you know, where does it go? What is this? What's the source of this? Where do I come from? Right? He couldn't find the source of himself. So he climbed to the top of the lotus flower again, and he was sitting there. Does everyone know what happened to him? Do you know what he heard? He heard the words tapa, right? And he didn't know, like, what's going on? Who is this? Who's saying this? And then he heard it again, tapa. Actually, it was said twice. And so he entered into tapasya. He realized, okay, I'll perform tapasya. And he started performing that tapasya with great intensity for a very long period of time. So it's interesting that then, at that time, Lord Brahma, he couldn't understand his source. He couldn't understand the Supreme Lord. And that's really our position too. Lord Brahma later, And the Brahma Samhita says, Pantastu koti shatavat sadasam pragamya, vayodatapi munipungavam. So the munipungavas are personalities that are extremely intelligent, extremely advanced in consciousness, realization, highly exalted philosophically. And yet they, even if Prabhupada mentions, even if they travel at the speed of the mind, like on an airplane made of mind, and they travel towards the Supreme Lord, they'll never find him. Right? So here you have this vision of the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan with all the cows, Lakshmi, Sahasra, Shatasam, Brahma, Sevyamana, right? With Krishna standing there, Tribhanga Lalita, right? He's standing in his threefold bending form. The beautiful sound of the flute is always adorning his lips. He's surrounded by millions of wish-fulfilling trees and cows. And it's this incredibly beautiful vision of the Supreme Lord. No one can approach that by their own power. No one can actually realize God on that level by their own intelligence. The only way that is revealed is if Krishna, by his grace, allows you that vision. Right? It even mentions in the Brahma Samhita, if those who are familiar will remember towards the end, that Goloka, it's actually protected by tridents. Right? In the zenith and nadir, you remember that verse? So from all the different directions, as well as up and down, it's protected by tridents in the form of mantra. It's like these sound vibration tridents. And if some wayward jiva tries to push his way into Goloka, some muni, pungavam, right? By the power of his mind or his meditation, tries to force his way into Krishna's abode, he'll be blasted, you know, by these mantras. So there's no one that can approach Goloka by their own power. And there's no one that can approach Krishna by their own power. Any knowledge or realization there is of God in this world, it's actually by Krishna's grace alone. Even in other religions, like in Christianity or Islam, anywhere you find a kernel of knowledge of God in this world, it only descended into this world by his grace. And Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Name Vidu Sudagana, right? Prabhavam namarshayaha aham adhiri devanam maharshanam chasarvashaha. Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. So Krishna is saying there, this is in the 10th chapter, Name vidu sudagana, right? The sudagana, this host of demigods, they don't understand Krishna. Neither the maharshis and the planets like Tapaloka, Janaloka, right? None of them, even though they're incredibly powerful, they don't even have human bodies like us. Their bodies are, you know, inconceivable to us. The level of consciousness and perception of reality that they have is inconceivable. We are like tiny, tiny little ants on the ground compared to these individuals. And yet they are no more capable of realizing Krishna by their own power than we are. Just think about how amazing that is. Right? You have these great demigods and things like that. With all due respect to them, they are just as much incapable, just as much in darkness and ignorance about the true nature of the personality of Godhead as we are. And with them, it's the same process. The only way that they will realize or understand Krishna's true nature is by the grace of Krishna alone. In fact, we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna organizes material energy like this, right? Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrataha. Literally, he's covered by the yogamaya samavrata, by a curtain. Yeah, mudho yam nabhi janati lokamam ajam avayam. So all the living entities in this world cannot understand Krishna, who's unborn, right? He's unborn and infallible. So there's this yogamaya samavrata. It's a very interesting concept. There's this curtain that covers our vision, so that we deliberately cannot understand Krishna. You'll see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is always speaking in terms of the rahasya, right? The secret, the rahasyam itad uttamam, right? And the highest secret of all, the greatest hidden truth, is the personality of Godhead himself and our relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada mentions in multiple places that self-realization and Krishna consciousness go hand in hand. The process of realizing who we are as eternal souls, realizing our true nature, coming to our true self, is really non-different than realizing Krishna. Right? The more that we develop love for Krishna, the more that we become, because of that love, the more that we lose interest in the material world and enter into 100% total focus and meditation and deep, unalloyed love for Krishna, to that degree, that light is sort of lit up within us, and we also can see ourselves by that same light. Self-realization and realization of Krishna go hand in hand. It's the same thing. You simply realize Krishna by Krishna's grace, and then you see everything else clearly, right? And you could see the entire material energy clearly as well. You could see everything in its proper order by the light of Krishna that's shining by Krishna's grace, by Guru's grace from within you, right? And so by that light, you can also see all the paths of self-realization as well. You can clearly see. Yavan artu ta pane samtu. What is it? Tavan sar. I'm sorry, I just forgot the verse. Yavan artu da pane sarvata sampluto deke. Tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. So for one who knows Brahman, all of the Vedas can be understood. Once you've attained that level of consciousness, ultimately of Krishna, then you can clearly see exactly what every verse of the Vedas is talking about. Because you're standing at the very peak of realization of what the Vedas are describing. Right? And therefore, a pure devotee can actually advise anyone in any particular spiritual path as to what their spiritual path is describing, how they can make advancement in that path. And you see, Srila Prabhupada had this capacity, he had this ability. Anyone from any particular direction, any religious background, Prabhupada could immediately guide them to the absolute truth, even from within their own tradition. Because brahmanasya vijanataha, he has this knowledge, this realization of the personality of Godhead. Yoga maya samavrataha, the curtain of material energy is withdrawn. Krishna is deliberately hiding himself. Right? And so why does he hide himself? Because if you think about it, we can't really enjoy the material world or attempt to enjoy it if Krishna is right in front of us. Right? Like the reality is that everything around us is Krishna. That's actually the reality. We're all immersed in Krishna. Everything we see here is his energy. And so whatever you see, your own hand, you know, the air in front of your face, of course in the temple room is very easy because it's deliberately drawing our attention to Krishna. But the whole material world is nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies interacting. But as wayward conditioned souls, we desire to enjoy, we desire to imitate Krishna. So Krishna creates a place where there's an illusion that he's not there. He creates a place where you can pretend that there is no God, that you're sort of in a place where God is not present. That's the yoga maya samavrataha. It's by your own desire to enjoy the world that you cannot see Krishna. Right? And even Queen Kunti prays. This is very beautiful. Maya javani kachchanam agya dhokshajam avayam na lakshase mudha drisha nato natya dharo yata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Natyadhara yata. So she's saying, like, you know, she's expressing Krishna's glories, and then she compares him, natyadhara tata. You're exactly like an actor, a dancing actor, right, that you find on a stage. And let's just think about this for a second. Right, let's just think, how is this, let's analyze this analogy. So why are, like, we live here in Hollywood, you know, where you have the most famous actors in the world, right? The greatest entertainers, they all live here. And they're paid millions of dollars to act on the movie screen. So what specifically is their talent? Well, you know, they have strong imaginations. They're able to convince themselves they're a particular individual, you know, an action hero or something like that. And they're so convinced of it and so capable of evoking those emotions and those feelings and those mannerisms that they can convince you, right? They can convince you that what they're doing is real. And so you're sitting in the movie theater and you're watching this actor on the stage or on the movie screen. And because they're so capable and they evoke these emotions and things like that, you actually become drawn into it to where you forget everything else outside the movie screen. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, you know, you're so absorbed in it that your own you feel for that individual. You're sort of vicariously living in the situation. And you forget everything that exists. That's why, like, if you're in a movie theater watching a movie and someone comes in and, like, opens the exit door or something, right? People are like, you know, they tolerate it once or twice, but then they're like, you know, get away from the door! You know, you're ruining the movie. You know, you're opening the door and the light is shining in and it's going across the screen. You're breaking my illusion. Right? You're breaking the illusion of the movie. I'm trying to become absorbed in this. I'm trying to forget reality, and you're reminding me that it's fake, right? Or someone talking on their cell phone, or kicking the back of your chair, right? Or throwing popcorn all over your shika, right? So these things, they break our illusion. So Krishna, he's just like a dancing actor, in that this is nothing but him. This whole material world is nothing but him, and yet we don't see it. We are actually absorbed in the movie. We're convinced, we're drawn into the illusion, right? If you look on the internet or something, it's full of news, you know, Donald Trump this and this and that, and everyone's absorbed in that, but that's actually an illusion. All there is Krishna, right? All there is Krishna, and yet we become drawn into the movements of the actor. We become convinced that this material world and its permutations is real and substantial and has value. We're interested in it. We're invested in it. We have feelings for it, just as if we're watching a movie. But Krishna is natyadhara. It's just an act, right? It's just a mask that he's wearing. Just like in Bharatanatyam, you know, they make all the facial expressions. I won't imitate because it'll be a disgrace to the profession, right? But they make so many beautiful expressions and things like that. It's meant to draw in your feelings. So Krishna is a dancing actor, and we're all bewildered by his beautiful smile, right? Which is the material energy. But if we serve Krishna and we worship the origin of this, as Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, no one can understand the origin, right? The aham adhirhi devanam. Even the demigods and great sages cannot understand him independently. So no one can pass the beautiful illusion created by the actor by his own power. Right? Only when you get to know the actor. Can you imagine? Okay, say you're like a famous actor like Tom Cruise or something like that. So if you're Tom Cruise's mother, it's very hard to watch his movie and become illusioned by it, right? Like if you know him very well, how are you going to forget that he's Tom Cruise? You know, how are you going to completely enter into the illusion that he's trying to create? You know, you're constantly reminded, oh, that's my boy, you know, or he's your best friend or something. Oh, that's my friend, you know, and so you can't forget who he truly is, and you leave the illusion. You can't focus on the movie, right? Or even the actors themselves, they go watch the movie, you know, like the premiere. You know, they create the whole movie, and then it goes through a process of production. And what they finally see, what was created. So for them, it's not quite the same as for everyone else, right? I remember, you know, this is an illusion, right? So for a devotee who loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead and knows him by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of Guru, one has a relationship with him, you can never be an illusion again about the material world. Never are you lost to him, nor is he lost to you, right? You constantly remember and see the reality of the personality of Godhead. And so we see Lord Brahma, he's on his lotus flower, and he begins to perform his tapasya, right? And he's doing it for a very, very long time. In fact, I think it's like 1,000 celestial years, right? And eventually, what happens is Krishna's pleased. That was his service, right? And so Krishna was very kind to him and actually blessed him with a vision of the spiritual world. And he saw, you know, it's like Krishna, first of all, by the power of the tapasya, he was invested with the potency to create. Okay? So he didn't really have the capacity to create or to do his service. But by doing that tapasya for such a long time, he developed the very capacity to create material existence. So think about that for a second. Everything that we see here, everything that we're experiencing was manifested by Lord Brahma. But that power, this whole power of universal creation, came from his tapasya, came from the service that he had done to Krishna in the form of tapasya. And Krishna was so pleased at the end of it that he gave him revelation of the spiritual world. Right? His service was so intense, his meditation, his tapasya was so great that Krishna actually gave him a vision of not only Vaikuntha but Goloka. He said the Brahma Samhita comes from this vision. He actually, Prabhupada mentions that he was initiated by Krishna. Right? He heard the Gayatri Mantra in the form of the flute sound. He was directly initiated by Krishna. But first he had pleased Krishna with his tremendous tapasya. In fact, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that he shook hands with Krishna. Right? Krishna actually came to him and he shook hands and he was congratulated by Krishna, and Krishna gave him the blessing to create. So it's just kind of an interesting meditation that this whole material world that we are experiencing, it was created from that particular moment, from that experience of service. Like it was created from a devotee who realized the Supreme Godhead and had a vision of the spiritual world and directly met God. Okay? And then from that, the potency, the power of that experience came this whole material world. So the very foundation of this kind of the material world itself is this revelation of this devotee. It's a pretty amazing thing. And so, how do we actually attain this level of realization? Well, we also have to perform tapasya, just like Lord Brahma, right? Follow the four regular principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Chant our 16 rounds attentively every day. It's very, very important that we try to chant attentively, right? It's easy to just go, and just try to somehow get it done, you know? Like the best part of your rounds is that last mantra. And then you take your bead bag by the rope and you swing it around. Yee-haw! You know? That's it for the day, right? Finally, I'm done. No, we're supposed to hear every mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And when we do that, Krishna is very merciful to us. Gradually our consciousness, we push forward in Krishna consciousness. Right? We have to follow the regular principles. We have to chant 16 rounds. We have to serve the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. Right? We have to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada under his direction. Krishnanu shilanam. Right? The practice of Krishna consciousness as given by our acharyas, we have to submit ourselves wholly and fully to that process. Give ourselves 100%. And then by Krishna's grace, gradually, Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Na Shochiti Na Kangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Then you'll, after one, gradually, you know, first you move out of the modes of passion and ignorance. I'm sure many of us have that experience, right? In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, it's very much like a roller coaster ride. You know, you're constantly going up and down, you're struggling with the mind and senses. It's very difficult, right? But gradually, as we persist to chant Hare Krishna and follow the process given by Srila Prabhupada, we enter into bhakti bhavati naishtaki, into nishta bhakti. We enter into the mode of goodness where things become easier, simpler, more straightforward. We're fixed in the process given by Srila Prabhupada. We become in line with his instructions and are able to stay there by his grace. And so by continuing that process, eventually, one's meditation on Krishna, one's absorption in Krishna, one's absorption in service, and one's absorption in the preaching mission becomes so focused that one is constantly on that platform. One is constantly doing service. You don't have any time for Maya, right? That's what Prabhupada mentions. You know, you should do so much service and so much hearing and chanting. You don't have any time for Maya. You see, and so gradually your consciousness comes to the point where you're always focused on service to Guru and always focused on Krishna, and there's no distractions. And then at that point, eventually, by continuing, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, one will actually leave behind the modes of nature and enter fully into transcendence by the grace of Krishna. And at that time, one will experience the higher stage of bhakti, right? Prema bhakti. One will experience devotion beyond the modes of nature. Bhaktya mam abhi janati yavanyash chashmi tatvataha, right? Tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantadam. And then by that power of that pure devotional service on that platform, bhakti mam abhijanati, you will actually realize Krishna in truth, right? And this is what happened to Lord Brahma. In fact, there's this beautiful verse here in the Bhagavatam I would like to read. Let's see. Krishna actually blesses Lord Brahma with the power to experience him and see him. So I don't have it here. But anyway, Krishna gave Lord Brahma full realization of himself, of his name, of his form, of his qualities. It says that in the Bhagavatam, that his rupa, his guna, his lila, everything was manifest to Lord Brahma. He was given a full, by the grace of Krishna, he was given the full realization of Krishna. And then when we hear in the Brahma Samhita, that's what he's giving a revelation of, right? We see here similarly Lord Brahma is seeing the cowherd boys are actually not cowherd boys. They're direct incarnations of Krishna. They're direct expansions of Krishna. Prabhupada's mentioning in today's purport that you have, there's Swarupya Mukti. There's so many in Vaikuntha. There's countless, unlimited, liberated souls that all look exactly like Vishnu. We could see here Jaya and Vijaya. They look exactly like Vishnu, except for two things. The Kaushtubhamani, which is a jewel that's hanging on his chest, right? It's actually like on a locket hanging on his chest. And then the Srivatsa, which is being described in today's purport, it's a curl of hair. And actually it mentions in the Bhagavatam, it's curling from left to right. It's actually counterclockwise, right? And Prabhupada's mentioning here, it's on the upper right side of the chest. So Krishna has a little bit of hair here, right? Like or Vishnu has like a golden hair here. And it's Prabhupada, sometimes devotees say it's it's representative of Lakshmi. But from what I've read in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that it's Lakshmi's resting place. It's like where she sits, you know, it's like her asana, right? And so, and it also mentions in the 12th canto that the Kashtubha gem is representative of the jivas. So you have Lakshmi Devi, and then you have the jivas, right? And so in Vaikuntha, that's how you tell that you're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has these special characteristics. And then Lord Brahma, when he had his revelation of the spiritual world by the grace of Krishna, he's described the same characteristics, right? Like Vishnu, as we see here, he has the Gada, Chakra, Shankha, Padma, right? He has his symbols as well as his Kaushtubha and Srivatsa. It's a very beautiful vision of Vishnu. And he also has a big, huge flower garland, right? Krishna loves flower garlands. One of the greatest expenses of the deity department is flowers, right? And you see the deities today, just look how beautifully they're just covered in flowers. Krishna absolutely loves flowers, and especially flower garlands. Vishnu wears a flower garland. And Krishna wears a flower garland. We see in the when Lord Brahma is sharing his revelation, Alola Chandrakala Sadvanamalya Vangshi, Ratnangadam Pranayake Likala Vilasam, Shamam Tri, what is it? Govindamari Purusham. Huh? Shamam Tri Bangala Ditam Niyata Prakasham, Govindamari Purusham Damaham Bajami. So this Alola Chandrika, he's wearing this, he's also wearing a locket. But it's actually, it has like a moon. It's a moon locket, right? Alola Chandrika Lasat Vanamalya Vangshi. And he has a very, very beautiful, beautiful garland. But it's made of forest flowers. You know, in Vaikuntha, Vishnu wears a garland. But in Vrindavan, Krishna wears a forest garland. We're talking exotic flowers here. Very, very beautiful and luxurious, right? And then also, you know, we see the other descriptions that Lord Brahma has. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu, Kalpa Vriksha, right? This is a place where the wealth of Vaikuntha cannot compare to the wealth of Vrindavan. Every little stone, every little piece of dust. You've been to Krishna Balaram Mandir, it's like the sandy ground there, right? So every little grain of that sand is Chintamani. It's unlimitedly valuable. Kalpa Vriksha, the place is filled with Kalpa Vriksha trees. Lakshavriteshu Sudabhid Abhipalayantam. Krishna's a cowherd boy, right? He's Abhipalaya. He's actually there with his stick, just like we see in this pastime. He's there with his stick and he's herding the cows. And so Lord Brahma has seen this, right? It's a very beautiful vision. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. And he's being worshipped by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmi Devis in the form of these gopis. So this is Vrindavan. This is Goloka. Varhavitam samasatam buddhasundadangam, right? He's there standing in his threefold bending form. He's the color of a beautiful rain cloud. So this is the vision that Lord Brahma had. Okay? And so by following the process of Krishna consciousness, we also can develop that vision by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of the Guru Parampara, by the grace of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, would, sometimes people would ask Srila Prabhupada, you know, where, what, show me Krishna. I want to see Krishna. What does he look like? And Prabhupada would say, look right there. Look at the picture. Right? You can directly see Krishna or look at the deities. They're here. But we have to go through the process of purification. We have to qualify ourselves, receive the grace and mercy of Krishna. Janadapi, Sneechana, Tududava, Sahishtuna, Amanana, Manadana, Kittaniya, Sadaharihi. We have to develop the taste for Krishna's name, which we have to, and in order to get that taste, we have to develop unlimited humility, unlimited tolerance. We have to develop a desire to glorify others and receive no glory for ourselves. And when we're able to develop these qualities, Krishna will bless us with a taste for his service, a taste for his name. And eventually, as we move towards transcendence, Krishna will bless us with the very capacity to see and understand him, and to realize the deities, to realize these windows to the spiritual world, to directly see Krishna on the level that Lord Brahma is seen, on the level of great devotees, the Mahajans, devotees like Srila Prabhupada. So we have to push forward in this Krishna consciousness movement and assist Srila Prabhupada in his preaching and assist Srila Prabhupada in his service. And in this way, Krishna, through the mercy in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will bless us mercifully, unlimitedly. Namo Mahavadanyaya. Right? We're receiving this tremendous mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So instead of performing tapas like Lord Brahma, we simply have to engage in the Sankirtan Yajna. And by that process, all the benefits of tapasya, all the benefits of austerity and yoga practice, all of these are rained down upon us by the mercy of Krishna. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Is there any question or comment? Yes, Archita Prabhu?
Haribol, thank you for a wonderful presentation, Sri Satyanarayana. Everybody, you should tell him how great his class is, because he always resists. Whenever I ask him to give class, he always resists. It's like once every 3 months or something like that. So that's not acceptable. Anyway, based on your presentation, you made it very, very clear. Lord Brahma had already seen Krishna, and by that realization of Krishna, as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, he wrote Brahma Samhita. So how is it? How do you explain then that he's seeing the same cowherd boy this much later, and he's bewildered and thinking that, is he really my Lord? How do you explain that?
Well, such a sensitive point, and Brahma is the head of our sampradaya. So such an intricate point, I don't want to speculate on, because I don't know. And I would have to see, I'm not familiar with Srila Prabhupada directly addresses that particular point, or if the acharyas, or you know, someone says. So maybe if someone knows, some authoritative explanation of that, they can share it with us. Does anyone know? Yeah. So maybe we'll have to research it. Well, why is, if Lord Brahma has had this vision of Krishna before, why is he bewildered now? I mean, there's one thing interesting that could be said. I don't know if it's the exact reason. I don't want to speculate. But one thing that can be said is that the demigods in general are bewildered by how the absolute truth is herding cows and stuff, right? Like the absolute truth for them, Prabhupada mentions that for this Sudagana, for those who cannot directly approach Krishna, generally we speculate. Generally we develop our own conception. And there's three different things that we usually conceive or we usually speculate of the absolute truth. We either come to the conclusion it's impersonal, right? Or we develop our own speculation about who God is. You see, you know, God's an old man with a beard and all this type of stuff. We have an imagined conception of God. Or we conceive of God as the absolute master of material energy, right? And that's kind of as far as we go. He's the Lord of creation. And this is generally what most people kind of have, a mix of these three, you know, like in certain religions, is that God is kind of like all of those things, right? But never does one see past the curtain of illusion to who he is as the personality of Godhead. So when individuals behind that curtain actually have this sort of speculative understanding of God, then when they see, you know, the supreme Lord of the universe, this is him, you know, he's eating sandesh from this little boy's mouth, right? He's got sandesh smeared all over his face, and this little boy just put him in a headlock, right? You know, there's another little boy just jumped on his back, you know. Like, you know, okay, we're all coming here. The Krishna's appeared. He's the personality of God that's on the earth. Let's go see. And they're kind of watching. And first it's like, wow, this is very beautiful. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, he just didn't wash his hands after eating. You know, this Are we sure this is the personality of Godhead? I don't know. You know, maybe we should test him, right? Let's just see for sure. I don't know. Doubts have kind of come. Let's just see if we're right, you know? So I don't know if that's Lord Brahma's position, but certainly that's been explained as far as the other demigods. You know, no one can understand. They're sort of bewildered by his personal activities. So it is 8:15. Let's just take one more comment. Prabhu? Parivida Prabhu? Okay. Parivida Prabhu? Sure. It's an interesting idea. Anyone else have something they would like to contribute? Mataji? I don't know. Please just speak. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you very much, Prabhus. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.